ring now, Beckett. Dig it. You better buy it. If you don't buy it, then nobody's going to get it. But you got to get it now. Dig it. Yeah.
This podcast has been paid for by the Major World Order.
Major World Order.
Figs for life.
Hello and welcome to the Major World Order podcast, a podcast focusing on the community, brought to you by the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Billy Walter Peck. I am a broski of the week. I am an Are You Serious Bro tweet of the week. I am not a Know Your Bro tweet of the week. I was going for that grand slam, but Brian Lyons beat me to it. But that's okay. With me is
Huss Var, aka the Major Market, aka Handsome Huss Var, aka Heartbreak Huss Var, aka Back the Huss Var, collector of all things movies, TV, gaming, pop culture, especially the Major Wrestling Figure podcast merch. I'm also a supporter of the All Ego Ethan Page and the very nice, very evil Dan Housen. We also have with us
the Big Jake Boski, the Sean Kemp of wrestling figure collecting, the Major Mad Hatter, and the future PBR heavyweight champion of the
Still
world.
Going on with this?
Yeah, baby. Jake, don't call me Bray Wyatt. Welcome to the Major World Order podcast, where it's just too sweet.
Well, and from the sounds of it, you're the last Wyatt standing.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I don't either.
Well, I don't like it, but, you know, I do like it, too. But, you know.
That's right. We are the Major World Order podcast. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all at Major World Order. And not for nothing, you can find us at prowrestlingtees.com/Major World. Thank you for Major. Joining the show. We've got a fun podcast on the way.
But first, an exciting word from our brand new sponsor.
Have you ever realized how long it's been since you've had a good night's sleep? Do you toss and turn at night, wondering what's missing? What is that hole in my life? Well, I have the answer for you. And it's not a mattress in a box. It's the Major Merch Book, coming soon. Scratch that major itch.
And now it is time to get started
with our guest. He works for Mattel, a marketing genius.
Oh, yeah. I heard he's the Einstein of Mattel.
Like Doc Brown's dog?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Anyway.
He's the first one to go back in time. So, great.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
Who knows what we're doing at this point? Welcome, Steve Moser, to the show.
Hey, guys. What's up? What an intro. I accept the Back to the Future comparison. I'll take it.
All right.
It's better than Copernicus.
Right. Exactly.
Billy doesn't. Did you not watch? Never mind. Just forget it. go back and watch Back to the Future. Then you'll understand.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, Steve. We really appreciate you coming on here. And I know we were talking a little bit before you came. We started up. You know, you've been pretty busy lately, obviously, with everything going on. So, we do appreciate you taking the time to, you know, come and hang out with us for a little bit. So just kind
of we're in a nice little lineup of podcasts that Steve and Robert Rudman have been doing. A quick shout out to some other major podcasts I know that they've been on. I know Robert was on The Call Up with Kenny Dinkins. Almost dyslexic, that one. And then The Fig Cave with Phil Gentile. And then Steve was on the Turnbuckle Tavern with Thomas Montalto.
Yeah. Good times on those podcasts, good people. And Rob and I, obviously, we're very active in the community.
Oh, yeah.
On our own social media, I do lives all the time. And, you know, now I'm having these conversations regularly on these podcasts, and that's been super, super fun.
Yeah, definitely. How is it, you know, working, you know, obviously for Mattel, you know, and you know the ins and outs of everything that's going on and, you know, future projects and things like that. How cool is it to be part of this group, you know, the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast community, and be able to see the feedback, you know? And I know it's not all good, you know, there's good things and bad things, but it's got to be pretty cool just to see the, you know, your work and being able to get that feedback from the fans and the community. You know, what's that like?
I mean, in a way, it kind of reinforces some of the mm-hmm. things like Rob and I think, because, I mean, if you guys are saying it, chances are we probably are mentally aligned with you guys, right. good and bad, right? So even if there's something you're like, ah, this is messed up, right. why'd they do this? Yeah. I mean, we're probably thinking like, ah, this didn't turn out right, you know, right. like ahead of time. It's not like, oh my God, I never knew, like he's wearing red, but we made him blue, like, you know. So it's like, you know, it's reassuring to see that we're all like mentally aligned, really, as mutual fans.
Definitely. No, that's really awesome. And I just have one more quick question before we get into the regular part of the podcast. But this is a question that everyone is dying to know. And, it, you know, if you can't answer it, we understand. But all of the Major World Order fans and myself included want to know, is there going to be a Giant Gonzalez Elite coming soon?
I mean, maybe jokey question, but in all seriousness, I know that is somebody that Bill McKenna attempted to have. We had a contact looking for talent back in the early days of the line, and Giant Gonzalez was on that list of somebody we definitely were trying to acquire.
Oh my God, and, I would love that.
Unfortunately, since he passed away, things got a little, you know, questionable of who has the rights to his estate, and you know. They just couldn't be certain that they had the right contacts at the end of the day. So it kind of got put on the back burner, and here we are years later and it never happened. But if we can get rights somehow, I mean, come on. Of course, we should have a Giant Gonzalez Elite.
So, and it's not really that jokey, because like it's every podcast Giant Gonzalez gets brought up, because he is legit one of Jake's favorite wrestlers of all time.
Like, so. I literally have goosebumps right now. Like, no joke. Like, seriously, like, it's possible. So I'm so excited for that. That would be awesome. So that'd be my dream come true. I'd definitely, you know, buy at least two of those. One MOC, you know, and then one to keep loosey goosey.
I think you know, even though he had a brief run in WWE, like, just as a figure alone and just the looks, it's like there's no worries about him selling. Like, he'll sell.
Oh yeah, for sure, definitely. That man, that'd be so cool. All right, so let's get serious a little bit. But thank you for answering that. That was actually way better of an answer than I thought you might give. So
the only reason you brought me on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Steve. We enjoyed having you on here. So take care. No, but the way the format goes, we just, you know, kind of start off, you know, from the beginning. So let's talk about your beginning. You know, how you got into wrestling. Kind of like, what was your first interactions with wrestling, and how did you get into it?
Well, my dad had one of those old gigantic satellite dishes, if you remember those, that people had on their roofs, like in the yard. Massive ones. Right. And you know, back when they were popular, you were just getting stations from around the country, you know, for free initially, unscrambled. And I would see house shows, you know, like WWE had all these deals across the country, and they would broadcast house shows. Like, for us, it was Prism in Philadelphia. And you know, they would just have all the various house shows. I just remember
that's really cool. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing. So like, that's why we asked these questions.
They had all these local cable deals, right? And they would broadcast shows. Like, Houston was broadcast. I remember seeing shows there. Obviously, Madison Square Garden Network, you know. Damn. So all, you know, at the very least, all the major markets were covered with these shows, which is why you see the shows available on, well, you saw them available on the network when that was a thing. They'll probably be on Peacock if they already aren't.
Sure.
Yeah. But anyway, that was my first exposure really to seeing matches, was him, you know, finding these shows on these satellite channels. And, you know, I liked it, but didn't dive fully in yet until Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling launched. And, you know, then, you know, as a kid, like, it just made it ultra palatable to me, like, in cartoon form. Like, these guys were all characters, right? Larger-than-life characters. And it delivered it to, you know, my young brain in a way that made me completely embrace it. So I really liked it at that point. But I didn't kind of understand, you know, when to watch it, or, you know, renting VHS tapes and all that stuff, or even pay-per-views yet. So fast forward a couple years, and then you have the Mega Powers versus Megabucks storyline leading into SummerSlam 88. And that finally completely sealed the deal, all in, started to absorb the business like a sponge, finding old magazines, old VHS tapes, like everything imaginable, and just learned as much as I could about the business from that point onward, and just like never look back.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, that's like the perfect time to get into it, like right there, that, you know, late 80s, like, oh, that was just, I mean, I, you know, definitely have vivid memories of, you know, watching, you know, Saturday Night's Main Event and, you know, things like that. And I mean, I remember I'd, you know, pass out in my bed, you know, trying to stay up, and then I'd wake up halfway through. I'm like, oh, I'm awake, you know, and I'm trying to watch stuff, and just, you know, so many cool things that, you know, just, it's crazy too how times have changed, you know, how we can literally just grab our phone and look up anything we want to watch anywhere in the world right now. And back then you had specific times, and you know, it's crazy.
So pre my Mega Powers full dive in, like I said, I was interested, and I remember catching every once in a while, I don't know why I was up this late as a kid, but catching once in a while the Saturday Night's Main Event, you know, specials. Mm-hmm. And I remember liking it and thinking, oh, this will be every week, and trying to figure out, like, oh, if I stay up late on Saturday, I'll find this show again. And then I didn't find it, right? And I was like, what's happening here? And that was part of, like, me as super young, not understanding, you know, no internet back then. We're obviously all dating ourselves. But now it's like a different story. It's like everything imaginable is right at our fingertips. Wrestling is on TV almost every night of the week. It's really like an amazing evolution to where we are now. And I think sometimes we take it for granted.
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, it's crazy, but you know, it's definitely went in the right direction, you know, because I mean, it'd suck pretty bad if we had to, you know, run around, try to go to our buddy's house that had cable, you know, and just try to, you know, so around that time, you know, I believe LJNs were out, probably about when you started watching, and then, you know, the Hasbros came about 1990 there. When you were a kid, did you have any of those action figures or, you know, anything like that? And did you start collecting then, or like, when did you get into collecting?
Yeah, I mean, that era was definitely like a collect them all era for action figures. Yeah. And I collect everything now still. Right. G.I. Joe, DC, Marvel, oh, wow. You know, NECA figures, He-Man, everything. So, you know, I started with some of those other brands, like He-Man first, DC Superpowers. And then, you know, when I fell in love with WWE, like LJNs, like as many as I could find, they were more expensive and everything, so I didn't get to go as deep into collecting those as I would have liked. And then, you know, Hasbro's came out, and they were super cheap in comparison. And I got pretty much everything from the Hasbro collection. But yeah, I mean, I was always trying to get as many as possible, as many as we can find. And once again, no internet, so we're just like driving around blindly, me and my dad, trying to find these things,
going to like KB Toys or Toys R Us, and they just, you know, there they are. Do you have any specific memories of like some of the ones you had, or any, like, did you have any, like, you know, Fig Feds or anything like that when you were a kid?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Storylines, ongoing storylines, especially as I got older.
Who was your champion? Who was like your main guy?
It shuffled around. I mean, Hulk was always in the mix for sure. Especially when I was younger, but as I got older, like I would get into some of the other talent who I thought were being like overlooked on TV. Like I think even like Virgil got a huge push at one point for like the main event picture. But I would definitely like cycle through and try to like utilize underutilized talent, and have a good time with it. Rumbles with drawing numbers, the whole nine yards. Right.
No, it seems like you were fairly like realistic with like your booking, so to speak. Did you do any crossovers? You know, was He-Man and you know, Roboto like jumping in the ring or anything like that? Or,
you know, thinking about like wrestling play specifically, I don't know if I did much of that. I kind of kept it to, you know, WWF and WCW, the Galoops. Okay. I did mix those up. Sure. But then I did at a point like gravitate towards G.I. Joe for wrestling because of the articulation.
Oh, okay.
And use those to really do a lot of moves and whatnot. And of course, Sarge was the champion G.I. Joes.
Okay, yeah, hell cool. Yeah. Those almost would have been like an elite at that time, you know, because they had so much articulation, you know, yeah. Compared to like a Hasbro or something like that. So, man, I wish I would have had some G.I. Joes now when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Who were some of your favorite wrestlers growing up? Like, who would you say was like your all-time favorite, and then like, you know, some other ones you loved?
Hulk Hogan kid, Hogan. Right? But I, you know, he was always the guy. But I had like other favorites of the moment as well, like, but you know, if I was at a show at the Spectrum and Hulk came out, forget it, like I was all about Hogan. But in the moment, like Roddy, Randy, Warrior, it's like, you know, I just had like the fever, I call it, like I have Roddy Piper fever, and I was all about Roddy for a while. Brutus Beefcake, you know, Brutus the effing Barber Beefcake fever. And like was all about Brutus for a little bit. So I kind of cycled through and had moments with everybody. And whenever people ask me like favorite questions, it is hard because I do really love everybody a lot. So I had moments where everybody was like a focal point of like my fig fed or whatever. But like I said, Hogan was always like the crowning jewel of the collection and the fig fed.
Yeah,
you sound like me. I like everything.
I mean, it's like you need the good guys and the bad guys, and you love them both for those reasons. You know, it's like, I mean, I was a huge Rockers fan, you know, when they were together. And then, of course, once Marty and Sean split up, it was like everybody hated Sean, but there was just something about, I was like, oh, this guy's bad, man. I love it. You know, and I was really into him. And then, you know, I think it was the 93 Royal Rumble, I believe, or maybe 92. I can't remember, but he was the IC champ, and he went against Jannetty, and Sherry was in his corner. And at that moment, you know, I was like, okay, I just felt like this is Jannetty's push, and I started, you know, kind of gravitating towards him. And then, of course, you know, that, you know, didn't last too long, but you know, it's just cool, you know, like there's just so many characters from that era that, you know, even if they were just a flash in the pan, it still sticks with me, you know, 30, 35 years later, whatever. It's, you know, and it's so cool to have those memories. And now the coolest thing is to be able to kind of relive that with the action figures that we're able to collect. And that's like, you know, the Legends series that are coming out. Like I was just talking to the guys beforehand, like, I just picked this up today, the new Scott Hall.
I hate you.
And, I also got the Chase Macho.
I hate you.
But I'm like super excited about these because I have not seen. Well, I've seen figures, but I either already had them or it's just I only collect like Legends pretty much. You know, I mean, there's some of the new ones are awesome, but it's just kind of out of my. It's not what I grew up on, my nostalgia. So it's like when I see these, I like freak out. I'm like, oh my god, you know, I feel like a kid again. So it's so cool that, you know, we have these Legends lines and all these other things coming. So, you know, I know you're a big part of that. And I just, you know, definitely want to say thank you for that. And it's just, it's so cool to even just to be able to communicate with somebody on the inside, I guess, so to speak, that has the same passion that we do. And like, you know, like I said, listens to what we say, you know, and you know, I know there's, you know, you can't make all the decisions, but you do have some input, and it's cool that you're able to listen to us and, you know, kind of just like hear what we like and what we're into and kind of go off of that. So we truly appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, it's my pleasure. I was known a bit as, you know, I don't want to say an influencer, but for lack of a better term, like a toy influencer before getting to Mattel. So, you know, being someone who was an action figure collector and a fan of WWE and all these other brands, like it does, you know, it is rewarding for me to be on the inside and now give back and be the voice for you guys. Right. And I know the importance too, and not only just, you know, of course it's important as a collector and as fans that this stuff like comes out and we make these things, but then, you know, it really does. It truly translates to good business too. Right. And you know, Jeremy Padour wrote the playbook, right?
Right.
WWE figures became you know, the growth kind of stopped and stalled out. And he said this, and he figured out like what the next step needed to be and is right. to make an offering that's all encompassing for everybody, every age level. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, at the time before Classic Superstars came out, I was about to get out. Like they changed from those R3 figures, R3, what were they called? I think they were R3 real scan, real scale, real scale. Yeah. So they switched from those body styles to Ruthless Aggression. And I didn't like the change, to be honest with you. I thought they were inferior. And I was like, okay, now's my cutoff time. Now I can get out of this and save some money and focus on other things. Nope. And Classic Superstars sucked me right back in, and I was all in, not just Classic Superstars. It was like everything, right?
Right.
Because then I'm thinking, well, I mean, these guys now, they will be legends someday, right? So I just bought like everything. And it's like, that's why it's so important to like make product that appeals to every segment of the fandom, because it's like that little bit here and there, like, you know, it grows to something larger.
Oh, yeah.
And I think when you have a strong Legends program that, you know, appeals to longtime fans who may have dropped off, it might even make them watch the show, right? Oh, like there's ripples effects to these things. So it's super important. Plus, you know, obviously selfishly, I love them myself, and it just gives me more to collect.
Right.
So it's just like cool all around. Like literally everybody benefits from including things like this.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I was gonna say, I wanted to give you a huge thank you for listening to my plea for the ultimate Undertaker being like the 98, you know, 97, because I got the basic one, you know, thinking that was gonna be, you know, the only iteration, and then this one gets announced, and I'm like, thank God, because that's what I grew up mainly with the Attitude Era, you know, it was like, you know, 96, 97, 98, and that was my Undertaker, you know, that was my version, and when I saw you guys announce it, I was like, thank God, and get one finally. And it's so cool. That's like, I've been checking ringside every day for the pre-order. Like, I need like two of them. I have you to thank for it.
I mean, not just me, right?
Team.
I knew that was what we should do for an ultimate. But I mean, you know, I think Bill knew as well, and Robert knew as well. Like that was the way to go. There'd been so many Undertakers already, and that was like an outlier. Like, we haven't done this yet. And even early on, I think he was in the pitch, right? Like, he was one that we would do way back when we were like pitching this line. So we knew it was just like aligning like tooling budget, because there's so much new tooling on him, right? And obviously you have to factor in reuse and all that stuff. So it's like, okay, beginning of a new year, him and Kane, lots of new tooling. Let's knock it out like right now. And that's why it took a little bit of time for him. But yeah, we knew and we listened all along, and we saw you guys, but we just couldn't say anything until we pulled the trigger.
Yeah.
I love it. Cool. I love it. I can't wait.
All right. So kind of getting back on the format, I do definitely want to get back and talk more about figures here in a little bit. But let's talk about your first introductions, I should say, to Zach and Kurt, a.k.a. Matt and Brian. You know, let's talk a little bit about how you got familiar with them. Like was it with their wrestling career, or was it like after that? And then like, how did you actually get in contact with them afterwards?
So, you know, I'm a fan. I go to WrestleMania every year. So, number one, I met them a couple times through like regular meet and greets, but, you know, they'll never remember me from that, whatever. but Zach and I, Matt, we kind of go back to my job before Mattel when I worked for Coca-Cola and I did marketing for them. I was handling Honest Tea, an organic tea beverage for the Coca-Cola company. I handled like the Southeast U.S., and Matt was an influencer for Honest Tea, and he would get like deliveries and stuff, and you could look back on his social media, and he would like tweet or post Instagram posts about Honest Tea. So for some of those things, it was me like dropping him off in New Orleans.
Have you talked to him about this?
Yeah,
that's cool.
It's a joke because I was in Florida, right? That was my primary market, but I did take care of the Southeast. So when WrestleMania was in New Orleans, I was like, well, I I got to make this an excuse to get to New Orleans, right? So I was like, oh, I'll drop product off to Zach, and you have to make it worthwhile. So I went there, and I dropped off, like, so many cases. It was just, like, you know, like a one-year supply, basically, for his 1 week in New Orleans. So he got in the room, and he was like, he was like, what the hell is this? Like, and he was just trying to give it away to anybody who would take it. So we joke about that. So, you know, that's how far back he and I go.
That's really cool.
And then, you know, Brian was really just like him becoming a part of the Elite Squad. We knew he was a figure person, and we wanted him involved in that Elite Squad program because we wanted authenticity. Of course, you want the megastar power of like an AJ Styles to bring in casual people. But at its core, whenever we're doing these things, we want it to sound like people who know what they're talking about. Right. So we wanted to make sure both Matt and Brian were involved in that from day one.
Yeah, absolutely. So after that, like, when I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, how did you get into, like, more of a I'm kind of messing this up because it's like you're already on a personal level with them, you know? It's because we're used to like regular fans just like us, you know, so you kind of already had that business mentality, or not even, oh man, I'm really messing this up. Relationship, you know, with them already. So it's kind of like you know, a little unique as far as that goes. But like, I guess when did you hear about the Major Wrestling Figure podcast, and like, how did you get into that?
Well, so as far as like figure related things, you know, on a personal level, like, it was like, yes, we got them involved, and I don't remember how we exchanged numbers or something. I probably had Matt's first, but we wound up in some group chat at some point just talking toys. And you know, the Elite Squad happened, and they were instrumental in its initial success, of course, became faces of it. And then I think, you know, in my opinion, and maybe they don't want me to say it, or maybe I'm wrong, or maybe, you know, whatever, but I feel like the podcast was a natural next step after the Elite Squad, right? It's like they were doing all these things, and they were doing other projects as well. So it was just like a natural evolution, in my view. Like, Elite Squad,
I don't think they would have a you know, a problem in saying that that was all part of, you know, it happening. So
the Elite Squad, the I Figured It Out shows, you know, everything that they were doing led up to what's happening now, which is amazing. And I think just through, you know, friendly chats about toys and collecting, and I think, you know, Matt and I would exchange messages about Star Wars and, you know, figuring things out, and he was collecting Jurassic, so it wasn't just wrestling figures, you know. And then, of course, you know, when the podcast finally started, just like, you know, seeing if there was any news that we needed to share, like as they were figuring out their format for the show, and just working closely with them on things like that. And then, you know, they know that if they ever need me for anything, they can put up the bat signal, and I'll come a running and do whatever I can. If it's just a little snippet video to intro something, if it's, you know, if they're helping us out with, you know, the crowdfunded ring, of course. So, you know, it's a great, you know, it's not a business relationship because we're not exchanging money, but there's a great business aspect to it. But you know, I'd say, you know, we're good buddies and toy buddies as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, let's talk about this this ring that everybody's up in arms about. You know,
setting the world on fire.
Yeah, I mean, I just backed my second one yesterday, so I got two coming. So I'm hoping we get to 7K because I don't have either of the other doinks that have came out yet, and you know, I need to get one, so I'm hoping that we can get that. But I got a good feeling we're gonna hit this 5K at least. So you know, it's so scary being in this because it's like, you know, I want it so bad. You know?
So I just checked. Right now we're at 48%. So we're just about at the halfway point, and we still have a few days left for this Macho Man early bird thing. So, you know, it seems very reasonable we can get to 5K and make it happen.
Right.
Doink seems difficult but not impossible, but man, I want that figure so bad.
And it's cool. I mean, it's like, it's just, oh man, it's just, you know, like all three of those figures, you know, the Diesel, you know, the Doink, and then of course that Macho Man is like that. That really like just put a smile on my face when I heard that. I was like, this is awesome, you know, because I mean, we have a million Macho Mans, but like this one specifically like has never, has never been made. And that WrestleMania 10 gear, so it's really cool to be able to have, you know, something new for Macho, because, you know, most of us are Macho Man freaks, you know, and you know, it's just, I mean, if he has so many alterations over the years he wrestled, you know, for different gears and things like that, so it's so cool to have, you know, this one now. Like, I mean, this one is my favorite. Like this,
that figure, the ultimate white
just came out. Yeah, it's just such a badass figure. But like, I don't know if this next one comes. It might be my favorite after that one. So I'm excited.
Same.
if you like that one, you can thank me. If you don't like it, you can hate me, because it was almost like a very early Randy from when he first joined WWE. Yeah. And we were like, do we want to do this? And then I was like, I really want that Hasbro remade, yes, right, with the white jacket. And I started pressuring Bill to change it. So it was almost a roped early era Macho.
Yeah. Wow. So,
you know, that is something that I kind of want to talk about, and it does expand past just the ring, but we can kind of keep it on the ring, you know, for now. You know, you are the global brand marketing manager. Now, for a lot of people, that would, you know, seem like, you know, you handle the marketing of things, but, you know, you're saying that, like, you know, you help kind of from start of these figures or ideas or whatever to, you know, the finish. Now, you may not actually be like making them, but like, it sounds like you have a lot of input on like the very early stages of figures getting made or the choices that are happening versus just being the guy that markets it out to the world.
Yeah, so that marketing manager title is a little deceiving. There is some marketing involved, but I think in, like, you know, industry terms, the marketing is more towards marketing that to a retailer, right, to get them to buy in. So sure. what we do as marketing managers is we manage the line and the entire process. From concept, I mean, concept for the year, slots and rats, right? through product selling through retail and every step of the way. So the marketing manager is really just like overseeing everything, absolutely everything. And, you know, we break it down and have, you know, lines that are dedicated to certain marketing managers, or else it would just be impossible, right? And then, you know, I kind of have the luxury of kind of being a consultant on everything on top of it. So it's like I not only manage my lines, but I have input creatively on everything. So I mean, it's a great position. I remember as a kid, I used to make like fake lineups, you know, and just like dream lineups and mail them in the mail and say, hey, make these, right? Or video game things too. I really wanted WrestleFest to come out on Super Nintendo. And I would be like, add these characters, here are the move sets that they would have. And I just like everything explained out to them. So that's now it's awesome. Like I do that with Bill.
And now people lineup. Do that to you on Twitter. Yeah.
Right, right.
It's like, it's so
I wish
cool.
It was mail instead.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what would the chances be if I actually just mailed you something that it might get like a little more?
You get 10% more credibility by mailing.
Yeah, it makes it a little more official then, you know.
Right.
But that's just so cool. It's like your childhood dream job, you know, in a sense, like you were kind of doing that when you were a kid, and now this is what you're doing for a living, you know.
That's what I wanted to mention, you know, from a little bit of your conversation earlier is like, you know, what the people can't see, but you have He-Man, you know, figures behind you, Masters of the Universe, and, you know, that is a Mattel property. So I, you know, that might be one of the lines that you handle, but I just wanted to say about that. It's like, I don't know who's seen the movie Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg, but there's one scene where he says something like, I used to have these guys' posters on my wall, and now I'm one of them. Like, you had them as the kid, and now you are making them. Like, that's really cool, and I love that. And I know it kind of segued a little out of things, but
yeah, those little moments are definitely not lost on me. Okay. I know I'm in a blessed position, right?
Sure.
I'm in any fan's dream position.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you, there are nightmares involved, right?
Oh, I'm
like
sure.
It's not just like I get to have fun and make lineups and stuff like that. Like it is very right. hard, and like you see me doing the podcast rounds now, it's after yeah. hours, right? So this is
your personal time.
Right. So yeah. it's a lot, but I mean, I'm willing to sacrifice that yeah. not only for my own, you know, creative fulfillment, but to give everybody the best, right? And yeah. give everybody what they want and spread the word. But I mean, there's moments like, you know, I tell this story a lot, like getting to tell, you know, legends or family of legends of figures coming. Like I got to yeah. reveal Sensational Sherry's figure to her son and tell her there
wow.
was a figure coming, and he was crying, and it was so emotional because you'd mentioned, you know, learning to love heels, and Sherry was like one of the first heels that I was like, oh my God, she's amazing.
Right.
You know? So that was a special moment. And then just, I think yesterday or the day before, I saw one of the artists on X-Men, the animated series from the 90s post his home office. And yeah. right in front of him where he sits, he has Slim Jim Macho Man he has Masters of the WWE Universe, Mr. T, and I'm like, holy crap. I like grew up watching that show and loving it so much, and now one of those artists, like, it's like a circle of life, basically, of
not
inspiration.
Larry Houston, is it?
Right.
I don't know the name, but yeah, like, I'm lucky I know
I
my own name at times.
Just,
I'm lucky I know my curious. Own name at times.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, no, so many cool things about all that. So yeah, then, you know, very possible that this kind of stuff has been answered, but like you said, you know, going from like the starting basis of creation, what are those early things that were like, you know, it's time to start making this ring, you know, seeing through to like, what are the options, you know, for the things to get made and all of that.
So you guys remember we showed a huge entrance stage a few years ago at Access and at yes. San Diego Comic-Con. So we already knew to create something like that, it would have to be online. It would right. probably have to be some sort of Kickstarter crowdfunded execution. And that's where we started. We were gauging interest at first. And seeing, you know, what people were saying they were willing to pay for something like that. Mm. I mean, it's massive, so it's going to be expensive. Yeah. There were electronics, right. Retail's not going to take something like that. So,
right.
so we started exploring, and I mean, the tooling alone was just like astronomical, like insanely astronomical for
imagine.
That. And it was just like, there's just no way at that point in time, the consumer would even want something that expensive, right?
It'd probably be $1,000 at least.
That's the hidden thing in a lot of items is the tooling costs, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's
right.
like you just can't figure that out, but it's like yeah. you're talking about, like, I mean, at least six figures, maybe
right.
seven figures
right.
for something like that. Yeah. And then how do you recoup those costs for something that's going to be low run?
Right.
And you're not
right.
And that's a moment in time entrance stage, right? So you're
right.
not going to like be able to rerun that in perpetuity. So it makes things very, very challenging. So we started to scale back a little bit. You know, what
yeah.
can
right.
we do that is a palatable price point for people
mm-hmm.
that we can, you know, afford the tooling for, that it can still be low run, you know, and then, you know, we eventually came up with, you know, having the ring, because the ring does have reuse potential,
right?
right?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of helps the entrance get made, right? That you're
right.
only going to do one time. So it's like all these numbers are balancing each other out at
right.
the end of the day. So I know people said, take the ring out and just do the entrance and then it cuts off this much money. No, the entrance goes up in price because,
right.
you know, because you're not going to get any tooling reuse out of it. So
right.
it's just like, you know, all these things like were carefully calculated to get to that 250 price point
sure.
Right.
to where it's like, okay, the company can make money on this.
Right.
It's not going to be in the red. It's a profitable item. And it's viable. It's something that we think people do want. I mean, that to me is so memorable, that entrance, you know.
Yeah.
I mentioned this on other interviews. It's like it started at WrestleMania 8, and it's like, look who came
right.
through it then. And
right.
and you know, then it just, you know, went on for a few more years through the
yeah.
the early days of the Attitude Era. So
right.
Yeah, it's just we thought it was a widely appealing item.
Oh yeah.
And I think, you know, there's obviously crowdfunding is new to people, and we're educating, and that's why we're doing a lot of these podcasts. And you know, it's important, because if we can take this next step into new things, like, who knows what happens, you know? Don't even think of it as a crowdfunding thing. Think of it as an open pre-order. I know people want that. So this is also an experiment in open pre-orders. What can we get if we open a pre-order up for 30 days, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it's like all these things are factored in, and it's like everyone who is involved in this is learning and seeing how consumers react and seeing what people say about the price point, about, you know, the time frame, like all that stuff. There's lots of learnings to be had here, but like the possibilities are endless if this is successful. And once again, I don't want to, you know, I see people like saying, oh, they're threatening us. Like, no, we're not threatening you and saying nothing will happen after this. But, you know, it does make it harder, right?
Yeah.
If it fails, and it fails abysmally, how can you make a case for it easily after that? It's going to be very difficult, right? But if it succeeds, it makes things very easy to say, let's do this, and let's make it a little bit more money and a little bit bigger, right? And then you could take baby steps and grow and grow and grow, instead of just having an uphill battle of you know, maybe some people don't believe in the execution anymore or something. Not saying it's impossible, but it definitely makes it harder.
Right.
I couldn't agree. I was just gonna say real quick. I back the ring too. I missed out on like the 2-in-1 ring. You know, the Raw SmackDown. And they're like going for way, you know, so much money now. So I've been waiting for something like this to come out, because I want like an entrance, you know, where I can make my figures come out. And also, I just learned from Robert that you can break down this ring and pretty much pack it up. And I could, you know, if I'm not playing, you know, I play with my toys. I actually play with my toys. So I, you know, when I'm not, I don't have much room in my room, so I could literally break it down, you know, put it away, and then, you know, unpack it again whenever I'm ready. Like, it's perfect for like exactly what I want. And you know, it couldn't have come at a better time. And I think the price is like where it should be, because you got to think, like Matt even said it, he's spending $200 on Ultimate Warrior Ultimate, you know, third party. And, you know, the ring and with the three figures is going to be $300 plus or $250 with all the accessories. So, like, down the line, it's going to be way more. So get it now while you can.
And a kind of a perspective, too, that I think could maybe help some is, like, so you mentioned that, you know, it was loosely what it is, you know, maybe a little more extravagant as a display at, you know, Comic-Con. And, you know, that's kind of a thing like that I've always wondered about, is like those big Comic-Con reveals, like they have these such extravagant like diorama displays. Sets and displays, and it's like, man, how can I get one of those? And this is your opportunity to get basically one of those. And you know, NECA also did something similar with the Turtles, you know, street diorama for, you know, the movies and the animated series. Like, Andrew, you got one of those, right?
I got the cartoon one. I've been wanting to get the movie one.
And how much was one of those?
Oh man, I think it was like two something, I think.
Okay. And that's just like, you know, it looks, it's really cool, but it's just a display thing, you know, that's a wall basically. And it's coming with two, potentially three figures and interchangeable accessories and all that.
And so, not to knock on NECA, there's a lot of cardboard pieces to it. Like this, the, you know, it's a lot of cardboard stuff and very flimsy piece.
So, and yeah, not trying to knock or anything like that, but it's just like, it's kind of a, to me, somewhat of a comparable item.
It is. I'm actually trying to look up my purchase confirmation for that. Same. To remind me of the price the price of it, because I bought,
it's not like it came right away.
Right. It was a pre-order. I have a lot of NECA. I'll never find it. I have a lot of NECA pre-orders. I collect NECA.
That's so, okay.
But it was pricey. It was pricey, and it's large, and you know, that's a great thing to bring up, right? It was something that they did for like kind of like an open order pre-sale situation. And you know, it's a mix of plastic and cardboard, and it's great and it's well done.
Yeah.
But you know, it shows that there's a market for items like this in general.
Yes.
Do WWE fans want that? You know,
so sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but like, no. Why people are giving the ring such a hard time versus something like that, it's like, it's not
right
that different, and people definitely got that. So if, like I said, if it's trying to put a positive perspective on it to a point, it's a lot of people did that. It's not that difficult to do this if you have the means to do it, you know?
Right, right.
And there were multiple releases. Yeah, 150, okay. 150. And there were multiple releases of that too, right? Yeah. So mm-hmm. that came out at Comic-Con first with the movie figures. Mm-hmm. And then I think they did a generic version online, mm-hmm. and then they did the animated version.
Oh.
So it's like that, even that, you're seeing them getting like tooling reuse out of it, you know, and slightly yeah. reconfiguring right. it or redecoing it for different yeah. things. So it's like at 150, you're getting a tooling reuse type of an item, and you're seeing success with it. Yeah. So I think, you know, I think for a lower run item like ours, like a one and done, and specifically talking about that entrance, you know, as a long-term collector who buys a lot of things and buys a lot of lines, and I like to think of myself as an action figure photographer, even though I haven't done it in a long time, like I buy things that will enhance my action figure photography. Right. And, you know, I think this is the perfect thing to do that.
I gotta agree 100%. I mean, I bought one to grip and one to flip, as I like to say. You know, I mean, so, but literally the one that I'm gonna keep, it's gonna be the centerpiece of my toy room here. So, like literally, I'm gonna have a like a coffee table in the center, and it's gonna be right in the middle here, like full entrance, everything, and I'm gonna have it all set up because it's just gonna be so fucking cool to, you know, be set up like that. And you know, I was thinking, you know, kind of like you were talking about doing the retooling and, you know, things like down the road. I mean, obviously you could easily make ring skirts that are interchangeable, you know, things like that. You know, and as far as the entrance stage go, you know, maybe down the road if this gets backed, there might be like a retro Raw, or, you know, like the RAW, you know, something like that. I mean, there's so many cool things you can do. And then, you know, you can even dig into the WCW stuff and maybe do like a cool Halloween Havoc, you know,
ECW
like
ECW or.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the ring can totally be reused over and over and over and over, you know, no problem.
And I do want to say something about like mm-hmm. the ring. Like yeah. we're not going to do rings every time. If we right. do more of these projects, like we're doing the ring now because you do need a ring,
right?
A properly scaled ring was something yeah. that was undeniably asked for, you know, right. for a long time. There are opportunities to refresh the skirts and the posts right. and the turnbuckles, right?
Yeah.
So it's like there are long-term positive implications of this.
Yeah.
And you know, future starters, we're not going to force people to buy a ring every single time, right?
Right.
Like, let's hypothetically say we do a Hell in the Cell. Hypothetical. Yeah. Right. Making it up.
Right.
I don't want to force another ring with that, right? Maybe we figure out a way to get the ring out another way for people who don't have it, or, you know, something, right? Right? But we're yeah. not going to, or maybe it's an add-on, right? Maybe right. it's an add-on for those who have this already. We'll work that out later. But, like, yeah. we're not going to force a ring on people every single right. time. Like, this is, because I saw a few comments saying they're going to force these bundles on us every time.
No.
Will it be a figure in something? Probably. Like, I think you would want a figure. That
it's
really
more enticing that way. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's up. Just kind of like, you know, when they come out with, like, these, like, you know, accessory packs and things like that. Like, it's cool, right. you know, but I feel like it should come with a figure, too. And not, you know, because it's like, I mean, me personally, I don't play with my figures. I rearrange them and I dust them. And, you know, that's me playing with them. At least that's what I tell my wife. But, you know, it's just like, if I was going to, I'm not interested in the accessory packs personally for me, you know, but, you know, if there's a figure with it, then I need to get it because it comes with that. So that makes it more enticing as a consumer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just one of those things, but yeah, I'm super excited for this ring. I mean, it's just, it's so cool. And like, I personally, I love new gen, you know, that was one of my favorite times. I mean, that's when I was growing up and I was like really getting into it, you know, and it's just, and that bridged the gap between the golden era and the attitude era too, you know? And it's like, there might have been some goofy characters and stuff that came out, but it's so good.
And like, that's why we love it.
Yeah, exactly. Like it reminds me of me because I'm like, I'm super cheesy. These guys make fun of me all the time because like I make these stupid jokes and, you know, they're just like, they're rolling their eyes and stuff. But it's like, it's just so funny. And that, it, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that from the new gen era, but there's so much good stuff too. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, you're Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, you know, Razor Ramon, Diesel, Doink, you know, Macho Man, Lex Luger. I mean, all these guys that it's just, it's like there's so much awesome content from that era. And it's like, you know, even like I saw somebody in the group had the WrestleMania, the arcade game, like you were talking about earlier, but he had like a setup in a ring, like of the actual front of the game case, but he used all his action figures for it, you know. And it was, I don't remember who did that, but that was cool. Like, you could totally do that with this ring. It'd be so sweet, and for figure photography and things like that. So I'm like super excited for this thing to come out, and I'm definitely going to be doing some fig photography for sure. Cause I really haven't done too much of that. I just kind of, whatever figure I get to purchase, I just take it in front of my Mattel shelf here. But you know,
the new gen, I don't want to call it hate, but, you know, the negative reaction to new gen stuff, it does baffle me a little bit, because whenever you have one of those figures revealed, like a new Shawn from that era or a Bret or whatever, it's like so positive. The reception is so positive. And even the Goon, you know, no offense to the Goon, but like, you know, he wasn't obviously not a main eventer, but that like got so many people it talking and up. Excited after Comic-Con. And it's like totally new gen, 100%, 1,000%. So, absolutely. You know, I think the focus on the name new gen, like, mess with people's heads more than, like, you think about everyone who went through that, you know, Mr. Perfect, you know, the Road Warriors. It's just like the who's who of the business went through that entrance. So, I can't wait. I mean, I'm going to put it right behind me. You see where this Castle Grayskull is. I'm going to shuffle shelves around, and that entrance is going right there.
Awesome. Well, that's going to be so cool.
Can I ask you a question? So I've actually been thinking about this. So it gets backed, and then, like, say you're going to do another ring, you want to do, let's just, you know, for example, like that Attitude Era ring. Could you essentially just make new ring posts and new turnbuckles and a new ring skirt and just put it on the existing one that's going to come out, essentially? Yeah,
that's so totally possible.
Like, that's, like, another reason, like, why people should do it, because, like, down the line, like, you decide you want to do an Attitude Era ring with a, you know, Attitude Era entrance, you could just sell the ring posts and the skirt, and then, like, you're set, you know?
And
like
that's exactly why I'm buying two rings, because that guy that's like, oh, I want this set, well, you don't have a ring now, bud, so hit me up.
But, it's, like, one of the, like, the biggest things I'm excited for is, like, the future. Like, the future that this could bring, like you said before. Yeah. Like, the possibilities that we'll have later on.
And I mean, just think about the figures that are coming with it. Yeah. I mean, like, you can only get these figures from purchasing this. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, I mean, these are easily, within a year to 2 years, going to be $100 a piece figures. Easily.
More.
I know. But I'm just saying, like, I mean, right there, the figures will make you money, and you still got the ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's a win-win situation. No matter what.
You know? I mean, 100%. Even, you know, it's not something that I'm necessarily going to encourage, because you know, it is. I'm a mix of fan and business right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But you know, anyone who's in this, who collects or is even vaguely paying attention, knows what a hot market this is right now. Like the aftermarket prices are through the roof.
It's insane.
But even if you strip that away and you go back to, you know, maybe a year or 2 years ago, and you look at some of the items, like, they were already, like, really going up in value, you know, like, some things were just, like, immediately, like, hitting retail and disappearing and going up in value. And this is going back like a year and a half, 2 years. So it is something to consider, you know, if that's your thing. It's something to consider for sure. You know, low run. Like, we're talking about if we get to Doink, 7K, right? Like, that's really not a lot in the whole big scheme of things.
Yeah.
No.
It's like, I mean, that's like a small town, you know?
of all evil Doinks.
Right.
Whoa.
Ooh, I just thought,
that,
man.
I need that Doink.
If we get a new gen part two ring, I mean, something that comes out in the future, we need a Dink.
Look, any character you would name, we would probably do. You know, like, it's just a matter of getting rights to do figures.
Right.
Because I mean, look at who we're doing, you know. And once again, not to knock the talent, because like I said, I do love everybody, but there's different popularity levels, and you know, and we're doing, you know, Chief Wahoo McDaniel. Chief Jay Strongbow. Not Wahoo. Chief Jay Strongbow.
That's next year, guys.
We're doing the Goon. We're doing Zodiac. Right. It's like, you know, there's no fear. Like, we
these
know
so obscure characters. Yeah. And it's just, it's so
like
cool.
You said, people freak out about, like, in a good way. Like, I can't believe it. I have to get this. Like,
yeah. I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking of, like, half of my Hasbro collection, like the Mountie, the Repo Man, you know, El Matador. Did we get an El Matador, Tito Santana? I didn't think. Oh, no, it was the, I have it. It's the WrestleMania one.
Strike Force, Tito.
Yeah. It was the white.
They're fights. Doing
yeah,
a yeah. Dominic Mysterio as a little kid. Yeah. Like, come
little
on.
Little kid Dominic.
You know?
Oh, I didn't even see that one.
It's a Build-A-Figure.
Oh, really? Man, that's pretty sweet. Wow.
Yeah, SummerSlam Build-A-Figure.
Oh, damn.
that's cool. A must-have for me, for sure. And,
damn. I might have to get that, too.
If they're doing, like, a little kid, they could do the dink, you know?
Yeah. Well, hey, what about the Paul Elring? It's like, remember the puppet?
Oh, yeah,
Rocco. That could be, Rocco. Yeah, Rocco. That could be dink.
What if you just made a short doink?
Short Doink.
That's also Husfar's nickname, Short Doink.
Right, yeah. That's
why? I'm taller than you.
Short Doink.
I'm just trying to think of ways to get away with making dink.
Look, I'm always looking for loopholes and trying to find ways to make things happen, which is why a lot of things actually happen. But I think that's a stretch.
All right, so I got one more thing. So if we're able to get this thing, this ring backed, I think we need a USS Intrepid, Lex Luger versus Yokozuna.
You want the full Intrepid?
The full Intrepid with the helicopter, everything.
Just get the USS flag,
all right? Right.
Actually,
size that would have to be.
Oh my god,
think
that would
about
be
the flag, and think about a 7-inch.
It would be a full size bed, like literally a full size, like maybe even a queen. I don't know, but. Actually, I wouldn't mind a Lex Luger with that American T-shirt or the button-down polo in the jeans. That'd be pretty badass.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing that, you know, 11 years into the line, there's still so much left that untouched, which is cool. And, you know, I know people want first-time-in-the-line figures.
Sure.
But there's so many awesome variations of existing guys that we still have to do.
Even just like the Macho Man that's coming out. It's like we've never had that one. And that, like, it completely skipped my mind. I never even thought about that one. So there's so many good ones that are like still available. There's so much meat on the bones, so to speak. I mean, it's so exciting. Like, I could just sit here all day and talk about figure. I mean, how do you even get work done? Like, I just I would be freaking out all day. Like, we got to do this, we got to do that. I mean, I have to start with Giant Gonzalez. If I worked at Mattel, that'd be my first agenda. Giant Gonzalez is getting done, guys. Let's do it. So,
I mean, I had a list when I started. I looked at the available Legends list, and I was like, okay, this is what's left to do. And this is what we have to do. And I just start pushing. I just start checking off names, you know? And now we're really pushing for new and more from WWE in a big way, because we've really been utilizing what they've given to us, right?
Right.
So, yes, I mean, I did the same thing you did, except I just, like, looked at everybody and said, we have to do all these guys. Right, you know, we have to take advantage of everybody we have.
Yeah.
I really want... I really want I was at, in Michigan hanging out with AJ, and we were watching old Roddy Piper matches, and I really want, it's so dumb, but the accessory of, you know, the box that me and Gene used to, like, it's like a box that comes down and it's a microphone. Yeah. I really want one of those. Like, I don't know how it would hang from the air, but I really want one of those just as an accessory on something.
Well, while you're playing, you hold it.
Yeah. Do you remember? Yeah. Jax had some old sets that had like the lighting truss or whatever.
Yeah,
like, it was like the real scale ring with like the lighting rigs and everything outside of it. Maybe we can get to that point someday where you have some sort of structure that can go around the ring and you hang something down.
You can just put like a fishing rod thing, like reel on the inside of it and like raise it up and down.
Exactly.
Like a clear,
that stuff,
like,
you have
crane
to back the ring.
Yeah. We got to start with this first, guys. So.
No, I just wanted to say real quick, since like it's a little geek out session for a moment. I don't know who was the decision maker behind this. I was probably the only happy person behind it, but thank you for giving us
bald Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
It might have been.
Was it?
I love
it. It was his last match. It was his last match, right? If we wouldn't have made it, I guarantee you, everybody would be like, "Why didn't you do his last match?" I guarantee it.
Oh yeah,
I have to agree. It did need to be done.
It needs to be made.
Was there It's different. Was there a conscious decision that it's like? Exactly. It should probably just be a basic instead of putting out like an elite with, you know, like the, because it was pretty cool attire, you know, with the vest and the hat. And
I work with someone who wanted to work on it.
Oh, well, but not happening.
Does he sweat a lot?
Bill doesn't do basic.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Interesting.
Yep. Yep.
But I just wanted to say, hey, yeah, like we needed it. A lot of people were like, "No, we don't need it." Yeah, we need it.
Look, it's a $10 basic figure.
Right. You don't have to buy it. If you don't like it, you don't have to buy it.
I think it's gone already, right? I saw it twice at retail, maybe. Yeah.
I've actually never seen it.
Never seen.
It is what it is, right?
I honestly, I won one pre-order from ringside on that.
I still need one.
Oh, I straight up, if I saw that in the store, I straight up would have bought it, autographed it, and sent it to Billy.
Like you said, you know, this is you kind of doing this on your own time. You're not at work, so like I don't want to take advantage of your time. It's up to you if you want to go through any more questioning of other things or not, or we can start to wrap this up.
I mean, if you have more questions, go ahead and shoot, you know, like let's take advantage of the time.
Okay. So like, you know, bringing up something like Ringside, you know, like you have a partnership with them. Like how does that kind of stuff usually work out? Like, I suppose you're just looking at it as another form of retail. But like what kind of decisions go into like giving them an exclusive or, you know, things like that?
I mean, we work very closely with Ringside. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you want to give them something that is going to do good business for them. Right. So you kind of see sometimes like, oh, just make Mantar and make him a Ringside exclusive. Right. I don't know that they would want Mantar as their exclusive. Right. Because, okay. You're thinking
they're dumping grounds.
Right. You're thinking like limited, just give it to Ringside. No, they need things that they're going to do good business on that they can potentially reorder. Right. Like this isn't just like give them whatever. And it's like you don't have infinite resources. So it's not like we could just give them 100 crappy figures a year. Sorry, Mantar, not crappy. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying?
Fashion like, booger.
Right. Look, you're not going to dump like a bunch of low performing figures on them. You want them to have heavy hitters. You want to maximize your work that you're doing because you can only do so much. You can only manage so much. You can only design so much, manufacture the whole nine yards. So it's like we work with them to try to find, you know, figures that they like, that they think are going to resonate with their consumers, that we think, you know, will resonate with the consumers. And we have regular meetings, and, you know, I'm friendly with John there. And of course, Bill is longtime buddies with John.
Right.
And we, you know, you see over the last few years, especially like these figures, like they'll go out of stock and then they'll come back a few months later because they've done reorders. So we're doing like, you know, popular figures with them that they can really truly capitalize on. Right. And have ownability, capitalize on that, you know, the fans really are into. So it's just like a collaborative process, really, you know.
Sure.
Figures that are cool with something new about them, you know, whether it's a new head, entrance gear, or new title, you know, what have you. And, you know, hopefully we can keep that going.
And to expand on that, how does that relationship work with, like, WWE? Is that something that you have to get approved, or do they just trust you as the, you know, the manufacturer, or, you know, like having an Undertaker dressed as Kane? You know, would WWE be like, you know, I think that needs to be mass market, or How does that go?
Absolutely. WWE has approval on everything.
Sure.
And we work very closely with WWE, and they can be very prescriptive in what they want and how they envision things as well. So, you know, there's a lot of partnership and collaboration going on across, you know, all parties. But really, it's like we'll work with Ringside, then go to WWE and say, hey, this is what we're proposing, right? And we'll give them our proposal. Sometimes they say, absolutely not. Sometimes they say, this is amazing, go ahead. Sometimes they tweak things, sometimes they question, but then can be convinced. So, you know, it's like any relationship. You're just like presenting your case to them and trying to have a meeting of the minds and put forth what's best for the business overall. So, you know, long story short, it's not like we can just, you know, John and me and Bill can say, oh, we want to do this person and we just run with it. Like, we have to make sure it's successful. We have to make sure licensor is on board, the whole nine yards.
I wanted to ask you, you could give a couple of them. What are some of your most favorite elites or ultimates that you've worked on?
I'm going to give different answers. I'm going to try to give different answers than I have on, you know, any of my live streams or whatever. And like my all favorites always change anyway. So it's still legit answers. Maybe that Legends Return wave, Greg Valentine, is super cool. I think he turned out really good with his shin guard, and I love his robe, and he's recent. Yeah. And speaking of those early waves, that old man, Ultimate Warrior.
One of the best.
Super, super meaningful to me. Like, I mentioned WrestleMania in New Orleans, and that's when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And I was late getting to that Raw. And I literally sat down in my seat, and his music hit. So, like, it's really meaningful. Like, I really got there just in time to see his last WWE moment. So that figure is very special to me as well. And I think it turned out really nice. And the duster is super, super strong.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
Ultimates, the Amazon Rock was really excellent. One of the better, you know, Rock figures. Hollywood Hogan, you know, I've mentioned this before, is very meaningful because he had a long absence. And, you know, I was the one put in charge of getting him back into the line and making the business case and the whole nine yards. So that's meaningful. A lot of work getting Hogan back in, and we did that. And I think, you know, maybe that Kane might be a new crowning jewel of my Ultimate Edition collection with his cape. It just looks so incredible.
Voice box.
Yeah. And it's funny because the cape, obviously we only know it from those pictures or maybe even the one picture that are floating
just that
around.
One picture, yeah. I was really surprised to see that when I first saw it, because I was like, did he wear that again? Like, because that was the only time I thought it was, like, before he made his debut. So,
but when you see it, it looks right. It's like I never want to not have the cape on him.
Yeah, because I saw the like the art, like the original concept artwork for Kane, you know, and they had the cape, and he was like, you know, supposed to be this exaggerated superhero kind of deal, you know, and it's like, oh man, that looks really cool. Like, I wish they would have had that for a while, but now that this figure is coming out with that, it's like home run. You know what I mean? Like, it's
like
so cool.
Like you said, you know, you get approval from everything for everything from WWE. Do they see the cape and go like, what are you doing? Or they're like, oh man, that's awesome.
Sometimes they question. I think for the cape, I think we just had a photo because when Bill turns something over, they get kind of what you guys see,
like a reference shot,
a render, right? So you see like a render of the figure in gray. And for soft goods, like, there's no render for soft goods. That's why soft goods are missing when we do these early reveals.
Oh, sure.
So he'll do like a photo and say figure will come include with soft goods whatever. Entrance cape. And then if he needs additional details, he'll just spell it out, you know, as seen on whatever, you know, house shows for, you know, 2 weeks in 1997 or whatever it was. So, yeah, it's just explaining those things. And some, you know, sometimes they'll question it and be like, ah, you know, we don't know about this. And we'll have a discussion and it goes through or it doesn't. Maybe there's some like IP issues, you know, things get cut. But yeah, that's how it is. It's just like, it's just dialogue, you know, approvals and dialogue and meetings and working closely together.
One of my last things is, you know, you do a lot of different crossovers. You know, there was like the WWE Ghostbusters or Motu. But then like there's stuff like Ninja Turtles, which that was like a Playmates product. Is there any sort of like cooperation with you guys on something like that? Or is that just like the license is handed off to Playmates for a time? Like, but Mattel is the license, you know, the licensor manufacturer. So I didn't know if there's any like, yeah. Do you kind of help with the process of that at all?
So I wasn't there during that time period, but as far as I know, we had nothing to do with those. Sure. It was really just like, it's called splicensing. I don't know if that's an official term, but that's what people call it.
Never it's like heard when it you before, take but slivers, I like it.
Slivers of a license, right? Yeah. Like look at DC or Marvel figure. You see a lot of or Power Rangers. Power Rangers is Hasbro. That might be a good example. You see the Lightning Collection at retail. It's their 6-inch collector line. Then you see Super 7 now doing their Ultimates, which are just a little bit taller, right? But it's the same characters. And then you have, you know, your reaction figures that they're doing, and you have your SH Figure Arts figures in Japan, you know. Right. So it's like you're having very similar scales, but it's like you're cutting up the license basically. So what I think happened there is just like there was like this area that was okay to explore, and it was using WWE personas, you know, slapped onto to Ninja Turtles. So I think that was kind of just like a splicensing thing.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, what goes into the decision-making process with who gets a chase in each line? Is that something you guys kind of get together and decide? Like, you know, like Kurt, obviously, you know, he got the chase for that series, or, you know, 64. whoever, is it kind of a group thing? You decide, oh, let's do, you know, Kurt as the chase this time, or how does that work?
There's a lot of factors that come into play. Artistically, right, it could be just great gear that we want to like make happen. Then you have to consider, do the cuts on the clothing match up, because you can't do thing, so it has to be the same like clothing patterns. Does someone need a boost? Will a chase help them, right? Because the chase is just one production run of a figure, but a portion of it's split with a different deco. So will someone benefit sales-wise? Is it like a superstar who like, ooh, I don't know, they won't sell very well, but if we do a chase, then that guarantees sell-through. Maybe that comes into play. But you've seen it spread across, you know, main eventers through, you know, these world-building talents. Like, so it really is dependent on the situation. Maybe it's cost. Maybe, you know, somebody would make for a great chase, but their gear is so expensive and we just can't do it. So then we have to pivot to somebody we can't afford, especially when you're talking about basics. So, you know, a lot to factor in there when you choose them. Ideally, it's just you're picking somebody who is just going to have an awesome variation of their gear, you know, or somebody you really want to try to get two out of that's meaningful. Like, I think maybe like Legends Jake, that's coming out, and the last one, they're pretty meaningful, right? Because for Legends Jake that's coming, you're getting that blue flame gear, which
we've needed that for so long.
Yep. And then, you know, you're getting WCW Jake, which is like, did Jake even have WCW merchandise at the time? I don't even know.
And it's cool because you're getting the Cobra too,
right?
Instead of the Python, so that's going to be pretty damn awesome. I do have a quick question. Do you work on the retros at all?
That is my line now. Yep.
Yes. Okay. Yep. Perfect. I do have a quick question. And if you can't answer this, I completely understand.
John Gonzalez?
I was going to mess around saying it. No,
you got one already.
Is there a possibility that there will ever be a two-pack, like tag team set for retros?
I think so. I think it's a strong possibility because they'll live on Mattel Creations out of the gate.
Right.
But it doesn't mean we can't explore other things, whether it's two packs on Mattel Creations or two packs somewhere else.
Okay.
So I think it's possible. I think maybe they may have been explored legitimately a little while back and it just didn't come to fruition. But look, I think they'll be successful out of the gate. Yeah. And if they are, that just, like I said, when I was talking about the ring and the arena, success means it's easy to explore more. It's easy to make a case, say, hey, look at this. Let's make it happen. Let's do more. And they're like, okay, run with it.
And now you don't have to worry about like shelf space at stores, you know, like a two pack, you know, like wouldn't something like that have to like require like an extra, you know, slot?
You would need retailers interested. You need to convince them that that's going to be a, you know, a productive peg for them, you know, the whole nine yards.
And now you don't have to worry about that.
Right. Exactly. And does that take away from something that would be more productive in your own line? Right. You're competing with yourself. If they're like, you have two feet, you know, what is going to work best in this 2 feet? Maybe it is a retro two pack. I don't know. But is it? You know, the Batista Ultimate Legend, right? Or is it more Legends figures, or is it something else? Is it a new kids line? It's like you have to have those discussions and figure out the best foot forward.
So many cool things coming up. I'm so excited for all
my
of this,
list grows every day of stuff I still need to buy.
So let me ask you guys, what was your favorite reveal at Comic-Con this year?
Oh man, now I got it. You know,
I mean, I got to go with the Jake Roberts. I mean, that, especially the Blue Flame. I mean, that one, I've always loved that outfit. I mean, because I remember he had a promo shot where he's just holding the snake up, and he's just got this kind of grisly look on his face, and it was just like, man, you know, and the Hasbro didn't do him justice. I mean, it was cool at the time, but, you know, it was... It just wasn't a great outfit attire, and they never made it. You know what I mean? It's just, but this is, and obviously, since my name is Jake, I've always been. My dad used to call me Jake the Snake, and then he called me other things that I won't say. But you know, I've always had a special place for Jake. You know, in my collection and just in wrestling in general, and it's that figure is just I think is probably my favorite. I mean, it's just so cool, and just like I love it.
I think it was a Comic-Con reveal, but the Billy Gunn in the camo.
And
what made me excited for that, and you can confirm, deny, or not say anything, but that would allude to the rest of the guys and gal getting, you know, similar treatment.
Well, I think, you know, that was. It's the worst kept secret of lineups.
Well,
is the DX Army coming? Because
you know, things leak
Billy.
Or whatever. But
but you know, you not only did we show Hunter at Comic-Con as well, but you know, we announced it as the DX Army is invading the Legends line, right?
Right.
So
right.
It's like we gotta complete the faction for sure.
So that is definitely like a big thing for me, and like I'm excited to see like. I love that it's kind of a two-in-one figure. You know, you can take the soft goods off, and now they have, you know, their ring gear, or, you know, it could be street clothes for all I know. But, like, I think that's really cool, and I'm excited to, like, ooh, what's gonna be underneath?
Right.
And that last Billy was really hard to find, too. The Hall of Champions Billy was super tough. He was kind of in and out at Target really quick. So it's great. It's great when you can, like, give people another chance at something.
Yes, thank you.
Right.
I needed help there.
mine was, it's sad because he's like, oh, now what is the Burns? I was really excited for that figure. But my favorite would have to be that Undertaker, the Ultimate Undertaker. Just I've been waiting for, you know, an Elite or Ultimate version of him, and with all, you know, the different heads, and the entrance jacket is like perfect. It's like how I remember him, you know, coming out as a kid, and I'm so excited for that figure.
That's awesome. Love it. And, love hearing this.
And actually, would you say that the Fiend was not far enough along, or to get put into production, or
I don't know. That's the honest answer. This all just happened. A couple more releases on Friday as well, and discussions have to be had, and you have to figure things out. So we're in the process of doing that. I hope we can make it. Right?
Please.
It's really cool looking, and you know, I think everybody really does want it. I think it's not one of those things where someone leaves the company and everyone loses interest, right? I think people want this figure to be seen.
I can see that making sense for certain people or whatever, but
it would almost make people want it even more.
Yeah,
you know?
Because that's you know, that's, well, you know, it's a completely different look. And now his last look, man, and, you'd hope that they would do it.
He's also one of those characters and has a look that even if you don't collect WWE, that might catch your eye and you'd be like, oh, what is this?
Right.
And like, I collect horror figures and this is the same size as my NECA figures. This goes on my shelf there. It's cool looking. And it was designed by, you know, by a notable horror
creator.
Right. So it's super cool all around. Yeah. So fingers crossed it works out. I hope so. There's your Fiend right there. Yeah. Yes.
No, that's incredible.
I do have a fan, I wouldn't say request, because I can't dictate what you can make. I'm a huge Liv Morgan fan, and I'm a huge DC Harley Quinn fan. So I'm hoping one day we get a Liv Morgan with that. What was it? I think it was WrestleMania.
WrestleMania, yeah.
Harley Quinn gear. I don't know with licensing and everything. Even if it's like the Gargano, where they had to, you know, you had to take off the slashes because it's Wolverine. I would even be happy with, you know, a red top sweater with white, you know.
That's so excited.
You know, it's like, so excited.
Just make the things I want.
I love Harley Quinn, so I love Liv Morgan too. So it's like best of both worlds for me.
don't know, like IP wise, if it's in a gray area or doable, but I can say that we were texting when that happened. You know, the group of us at Mattel, and I think Bill was already like counting the deco to see if it was even possible, right? Because you know, both of their gears during that show was like super extravagant. But comic book fans here, wrestling fans here, like we would love to do something like that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
And I just got one more quick question. Is there any way you can let me know when the Ultimate Hulk Hogan is going back up on Amazon so I can get it this time? Because I keep missing it every time.
It is going back up later this month. There will be a real date and some hoopla around it. So as soon as that is 100% locked in, I'm going to share that info. I'll share it in the group here, and I'll share it on my social and the forums and everywhere I can. But yeah, there'll be a real legitimate pre-sale date coming for both Hulk and Jeff.
Yeah, because literally every time
Jake, because I try to wake him up. He's sleeping every time, and I'm like, Jake, order.
Yeah, because I work really early. I get up at 5 every day, you know, whatever. But, you know, yeah, he both times I've woke up to, like, missed texts from Husfar. He's like, hey, you know, it's up right now with a link to it. I'm like, oh, sweet. And then I go on, and of course it's like, 8 hours later, and you know, I'm like, no.
And I'm right there with you. You know, I had someone he was a little mean to me, saying, you don't know what it's like. You get stuff for free, and I get some stuff for free for sure. But I'm out there buying stuff with you guys and hunting and finding legends at Target and the whole nine yards. But my Jeff, I had to send my Jeff to Jeff this week, so I don't have a Jeff. So I need to get it also. So I'm right there with you, like trying to pre-order these, because it's not guaranteed. Like, I'll get one because I have to look at it to make sure it's okay, right? Because it's like, even though I'm not design, I'm like the last step, right? If there's something that we can affect, you know, at the last minute, that's where like I kind of come in. That's where running changes happen, right? But if we need it for something else, it's taken out of my hands and gone. Yeah. Just like this step, so.
Yeah, but you know, just going back to that, that's why we do this. It's the thrill of the hunt. You know, you can't win them all. You know, so it's it makes it fun. So, but I'll quit bugging you.
If he wasn't brought up so many times, and this is for sure my last thing, but I know it's something that a lot of people ask about, but it's Jake the Snake.
Who?
Jake the Snake. Maybe you didn't hear. It's, you know, he works for another company, but continues to get tons of stuff. Is that something that, like, you're aware of, like, the contracts of how that works, or is that, like, strictly like a WWE thing?
Well, and yeah, he still has shirts on and merch on WWE Shop and other partners. Like, I almost wore my Jake homage shirt today with the classic green shirt with the Jake logo on it. But it was just an existing deal in place, his existing merchandise deal is just still in play. So, you know, it's not like, but that wasn't a contract to appear on television. It was just a merchandise deal, right? So he was free to go elsewhere and perform, and they weren't going to stop him. Same thing with Dallas. Dallas appeared a couple times on the, right. on the competitor, right? I probably shouldn't say the name, but Dallas appeared as well, and and we made another DDP figure. So
it's very interesting to a lot of people that like the moment that even a couple appearances seem plausible, but like he's an ongoing person that it's like,
oh yeah, wow, yeah. Cause I remember when
he's on every week and still gets new figures.
When the last Legends Jake that came out, and I saw him on the competitor show, I was like, oh no, we're not going to get that figure. And then we still got it. So I was
everyone thought, okay, like, it's not happening.
Right.
And we got one. And we got the Motu Jake.
You're right.
Also. Yes.
So, okay.
So, I mean, if they're on good terms with the company, and if there's an existing deal in place and everything is legal and everyone's on the same page, like things are possible. You know what I mean? I mean, Jericho appeared on the Austin podcast.
True. Right.
You're right. Yeah.
To get into wrestling terms, that forbidden door is a thing that seems to creak open a little more here and there, and it's cool to see.
A business deal is a business deal, right? That's right. Like the old days of someone jumping ship and all chaos ensuing. I mean, it still happens, but it shouldn't be as surprising anymore. Right. It's fun, so keep that aspect going.
That's cool.
But, hell yeah.
That's very cool.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, we could be geeks and do this all night long, but we shouldn't. And we're pretty much coming to that close of the time anyway. So, definitely want to thank you for being part of all this and, hanging out in the major group and being so, transparent.
Thank you so much. And open to
hanging out with the fans and talking. So. Very appreciative.
Thank you for making like all my favorite stuff that I love to buy. Thank you so much.
I'll try to continue to do that. Thanks for having me. I've given credit where credit is due before. Jeremy was like this, back in the day, and his knowledge and openness helped me immensely when I was able to finally get into this industry. And hopefully by me doing the same, like it not only helps you with collecting and understanding, but get some of you guys hyped up to do the same, like pursue things and whether it's toys or whatever, just like, take the knowledge and do what you will with it. But that's why I'm so open with everybody. I just want to make as much knowledge known to the public as possible. And, from collector standpoint to just understanding how things work to maybe, getting your foot in the door with opportunities because you have more information, like all that stuff. So it's always my pleasure to talk with everybody, whether it's on these podcasts or social.
Yeah. We appreciate you so much.
Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun to learn about you as a fan and then to get a little bit of a look inside the toy maintenance, so to speak. So thank you again.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you. And go to MattelCreations.com and back the New Generation Arena. Cheap plug.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Back the ring. Back it.
I need doink.
Yeah.
So yeah, big thank you to Steve.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Thanks, having Steve. Him on. But now it is time.
Oh, hell yeah.
Four.
We got some hoes in this house. Got some hoes in this house.
Dude, you've been making me sing that like all week.
That's so funny.
MWO questions.
MWO
I was
gonna
try
questions.
To sing it. Yeah, I was gonna like try it. To sing it.
We got 4x6s, not 2x4s or whatever, but 4x6s. And we're gonna go through and pick and see who wins signed 4x6.
Oh hell
yeah. I got one.
All right.
So I'm gonna pick my man, the man of 1,000 shirts, Joey Hudson.
He actually messaged me. He said, why don't I ever pick his questions?
Well, you
I'm picking it.
Because
they suck.
No, he did the Gonzalez ones. He like goaded you into doing it.
I know. He has some good ones. I don't know why I've never picked any of his. Actually, he has two questions this week. Maybe I should pick.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a double winner. We'll have to see.
Oh.
No promises, though. I haven't read any of these yet, so we'll see.
I'm picking rank match title wins by order of which is your personal favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So my number one definitely has to be the GCW Homecoming World title win. Just, I was there. It was an incredible moment to experience live. All the cans flying and you know, the little gang
pizza cutters.
Family rivalry and the pizza cutters. Number two, I'm gonna say the IC title win, just because it was just such a surprising moment and such an incredible moment. You know, with his dad coming up and hugging him, the cowboy hat, and
Super,
you
know, Bob
rips it off. And number three would be the WrestleMania 35, Matt and Brian winning. You know, got to get Brian in there too. You know, spectacular win. And then the last would be the, I mean, I know there's a lot more. I'm trying to keep it short.
Well, all televised.
The U.S. title win, I guess, would be the next one. You know, that was another good one. I mean, he lost that to Miz the next day?
No, that was the IC title. That was the IC.
Okay, so,
He held the U.S. for...
A good while, right?
I'm not even sure, but, you know, a couple weeks, maybe a couple months, maybe.
Yeah.
Mine are kind of similar. They flip-flop a little. I'll go the opposite direction. I'll start with my, I don't know, least favorite, I suppose. But it's I hate doing, like, least favorite, because I don't think it's, like, you know, bad. It just happens to be the last of a lineage of cool things happened.
Yeah.
But U.S. title, I suppose, would be the last.
Yeah.
But I think it's a really great one, because it was like at the height of woo, you know, and all that. Like, so that, you know, it's a great one, but it's the last, I suppose.
Yeah.
After that, I would say that it's the WrestleMania 35 tag title win.
Really?
Again, it's a great one, but, you know, and especially because, like, it was the end of Bryan's losing streak, and you know, it's still a great win. Then the next one after that would be the their first tag title win.
Mm.
When they won the SmackDown tag titles, as, you know, I guess they were, I think they were still technically Edgeheads. They just weren't dressed like Edge anymore.
Right.
They had the long hair and everything.
Yeah. So that one, because it was the first title win for either of them outside of, you know, NYWC or whatever.
Sure.
Right.
Or, you know, if they had any in FCW or, you know, like, so that would be that one. Then I would say GCW, because it was, what an incredible night seeing him do something completely different. Mm-hmm. You know, trending over the Olympics,
the blood, you know,
and UFC, him being in just that type of match. It's his first technically world championship, but then number one is IC title. At WrestleMania, you know, like, that to me was just like the biggest win out of anything, you know, that he had done. And, you know, same as you with the GCW title, I was there for that, and not at all thinking it was going to happen, just being happy to see him in the match and then him win. That's my number one.
Very cool. Mine's very simple. I got to go with the FWF title, the Interstate Championship, and the FWF Tag Team Championship. Because he does have all those belts. No.
You're right.
No, I'm going to...
won the Interstate Championship when he received it in the mail.
Yeah. So I'm going to go... my favorite is the Intercontinental Championship win. That one's just my favorite. Second, I'm going to go with the GCW title. I thought he was going to do, you know, really good and everything, but I didn't think he was going to win. I didn't think he was going to walk out with the title. So I was pretty shocked when that happened. And then I got to go with Mania 35 tag team titles as my top three. I mean, the U.S., that one was good too. And then, of course, there's so many good ones, but
they're all
But I mean, just the way I'm going to rank them is, you know.
I hate having any of them be last.
Right.
One of them has to be last.
Yeah, they're all important, you know. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Next. Someone better pick the one I was originally gonna pick.
There's. I'm gonna go with I'm gonna butcher it, I'm sure, but Sean Thibodeau.
Yeah, you got it. Thibodeau.
I love prop replicas from Power Ranger helmets, Lord of the Rings swords, and lightsabers. If WWE were to make some that weren't title belts, what would be a layup for you guys? I'd say
a sweet
Undertaker urn with lights and sounds, Paul Bearer or the Taker.
Man.
So I pick it, but I don't really have an
answer. Erwin R. Scheisser's briefcase.
I can give an answer if you want.
Shawn Michaels' Heartbreak Hotel bed. The whole thing.
The whole bed? Damn.
The whole bed. The curtains and everything.
I love it.
I'm going to pick, you know how I've showed you guys my really nice Fiend mask with like the leather straps?
Yeah.
I want a really nice Kane mask. Have they done that? Like an actual, like not those plastic shits that you get when you're a kid, you know?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I want like that caliber, like Kane mask, like actually, you know, legit, like
high quality,
top notch.
Are we talking like the first version or?
Yeah, the first version.
Oh, you gotta go first. Yeah,
the original. You know, none of that new stuff. I like the new stuff, but the original's what I grew up with. But I want like that caliber, you know, quality Fiend. You know, they did the burned Fiend mask. That would have been my answer if they didn't make one, but they did.
Yeah. So.
But the Kane mask.
Love it.
Yeah.
Jake? That's really cool. I'm going to go with Gold Dust Wig.
Dust Wig.
You could just go to a wig store. You want officially licensed?
Honestly, I think something that should actually be made that I don't even think they ever have is like the King crown, like Jerry the King Lawler's crown. Yeah. You know, like, yeah, I mean,
what if they did? What about Macho King?
Well, yeah, what if they did more than just that? Like, what if they did?
But there was like Harley Race, you know?
Or like Sheamus's
Bret Hart's. Cool. Yeah.
Yes. You know, some of them.
King Corbin's was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, I actually liked that one that was like black and it had like the inlays it was cool in it. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
Yes, some of them have had
Bret Hart,
really
cool, you know, there was
distinctive masks. Or yes. Not masks.
King Mabel had King one, Mabel. Too. His was pretty sweet.
Yeah. Now, would King Mabel's be like the Zack Ryder headband with the spiky hair? Would the King Mabel have the mohawk coming
the
out?
The mohawk? Yeah. Like that.
I have the, like, they made Lily, you know, from the doll, Alexa Bliss's Fiend.
Oh, sorry, I forgot what the name was, yeah.
Yeah, they made that, so you know it's a lot. Some of the newer stuff they've made, but they really should make more. I feel like people would go crazy for them.
Yeah, I mean, kind of like
the urn, you know,
they like made the high quality
like
stuff.
They've made urns,
yeah,
but they've never made a like the one like it's always been like commemorative like. They celebrating 35 years or something like that.
They it's not just a regular that. One, you know, kind of like how Bret Hart's sunglasses, you know, how they had, like, it is not like a normal kind of, like, I'm trying to think, like, they've never had, you know, at least nowadays compared to back then, like, what the wrestlers wore, actually, you know, it's the same, it was the same quality, and the same thing, you know, and, I mean, if they made, you know, a $75 crown, $100. It doesn't have to have real, you know, rubies and rhinestones and whatever in it, you know. But, you know, I mean, just some quality stuff, I think would be really cool.
I think that's, like, the best overall idea is giving, like, just like they have replica titles, do replica crowns. Right. And it would be a really cool way to, like, if they were to, like, legit bring King of the Ring and Queen of the Ring back, you know, like
hell yeah,
they could,
and then Jerry Lawler could present the like, that would be so cool.
Lawler can sign a couple of them or something.
I think that would be a really cool idea.
Hell yeah, I love that. That's a good question. And my question is from Brian Lyons. After John C. After John Cena stole the show in the Suicide Squad as Peacemaker this weekend,
such a good movie.
Yes, it was great. Hey, did you guys see Jungle Cruise?
No, not yet.
It was really good. Okay, so, oh my God. So this weekend in The Rock, soon to be the Black Adam, to be Black Adam, what modern wrestler would you like to see in a superhero movie, and who would you like to see them play? Not sure why this popped in my head, but I think Bray Wyatt would make a great Mojo, the X-Men villain.
He'd make a great Mojo. That's a good pick.
Yeah, man. So, Ooh, this is tough.
I'm it would be a very interesting pick, but I like it.
Yeah, I really like it. Yeah. I think they should do it.
I'm going to go...
Kevin Feige, hit up Bray Wyatt. Wyndham Rotunda, please.
Rotunda? Who's Rotunda?
That's his name.
It's Rotundo.
Rotundo.
It's Rotundo? I thought it was Rotunda. Yeah. All right, sorry.
Negative. Okay. So anyway, I'm going to go...
Okay, Deanna Peraza.
Who's Lewis Lane?
Who's Lewis Lane?
Hey, the reason we're all giggling is because we just fucked up this question so bad for like 10 minutes. We had to cut it out. So that's why we're all giggling. Anyway, this is the remix. All right. So anyway, I'm going to go
remix with... to Ignition, hot and fresh out the kitchen.
Dude, can I finish this shit?
No,
seriously.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to go with Dean Ambrose as Victor Zsasz.
That's a really good one. Man. I like it. Yeah. I like that.
I love that.
All right. What do you guys got?
For mine, so did you guys watch the Superman animated series when you were younger? It's like the Batman animated series?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. There's a character called Livewire who is like she had blue hair and white skin.
Mm-hmm. Heavily featured in the Flash TV series.
Yep.
Oh really? Oh, I didn't get that far. So I think Alexa Bliss would play a really good Livewire.
Yeah, that's a
that's
one.
A good one.
Because she like whoever voiced her, I forget who voiced her in the animated, but like it's very similar to how Alexa Bliss talks and stuff, and I think she'd have that good attitude.
Yeah. Oh
my God.
Jake just tore ripped. Open.
He just his, ripped it open.
His drunk Scott Hall box.
Hey yo.
Sicko. All right. Now,
soft goods.
We would have to, you know, get some movie magic as far as like
WCW Mike.
You know, fixing up the appearance just a little bit. But the Dark Order's John Silver as Wolverine.
That'd be cool. Or Puck.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Because as great as Hugh Jackman was, there was always that lingering complaint that he was too tall. And John Silver is short as fuck.
And jacked as fuck.
Jacked as fuck. I'll bet that if he stopped doing his wrestler thing of shaving his body, he's probably hairy as fuck. Because have you seen that beard?
He's been manscaping the shit out of himself.
Now, he's
bald. Is he that short? Is Wolverine that short?
I mean, okay, yes. Wolverine.
Yeah, I'm looking up too. Height. 5'3".
5'3".
Okay, what? Let's see, John Silver. Yeah, he's short as fuck. EW height. 5'4". Okay, yeah, that fits. That works. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, that's build height.
He's shorter than Rey Mysterio.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
I mean, it goes with the animal Wolverines. They're small but deadly.
Right.
Rip your face off.
Hey, Husfar, what kind of animal are you?
I am a cheetah.
Why is that?
Why?
Because they run fast. And
because you're a scaredy cat.
Cheetahs aren't scared. They're predators, motherfucker.
You're a big old pussy. That's what you are. So anyway.
That was a seal.
All right.
Oh my God.
Fucking stupid seal. You ever see Strange Wilderness?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, who's got the last question?
We did them all.
Where's the other guy at?
What other guy?
I thought we had four.
Oh, what?
What?
You want to do a fourth one?
Yeah. You want to do a fourth?
Just for the hell of it?
No. Yeah, but who?
AJ.
So
AJ.
Who's going to sell it, though?
Hey,
who's
you know what?
Send it.
I gotta send AJ a
special fourth Q&A question.
Fuck,
we all send them.
All right. Ooh, very special.
All right.
Who are we gonna send it to?
I don't know.
Who's picking? Right. How are we deciding who's picking?
Grandma Hussey picks.
All right.
In her grandma voice.
In her grandma voice.
Yes.
All right. I'll do it like that. All right. Let me pick. Let's see.
Let me. Put my bifocals on and take a look, Sonny.
Bifocal. Let's see. Well, we did all. Okay. No, he has one. Let's send him to our boy, Joe Vin.
Yeah.
Who is the leader? Oh, wait. Hold on. Who is the leader of the MWO. I'm the leader of the MWO. Everyone knows this, Joe. Mm. Come on, you know this. Yeah. What does this need to be asked?
What did you just say?
Why does this need to be asked? Why does this need to be asked?
I said it really fast. He doesn't know because you're not aggressive enough to be the leader.
You're not aggressive enough.
You're not aggressive enough.
As opposed to
me, the alpha male, aka the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Billy, what's your input on this?
I would say
there's a nervous laugh. That's what second place people do. They laugh nervously like that.
Nervous. You laugh even more nervously.
No, that's just my fake laugh because I don't find anything funny.
Yeah, and alpha males are real, not fake. So, yeah.
I would say
Jake the fake.
Ooh.
We are the major order.
That's right.
We are the leaders of this shit.
Yeah. Me and Billy are. Huzzfars just sucks.
We are Groot.
We are Groot. I'm just kidding. I love Huzzfar.
You hate me.
No, I don't. I love you.
Hate me.
I love you so much.
Who is the leader?
Nah, we're all equally.
The leader.
We are Venom.
Ooh, when's that coming out?
October.
Nice.
I can't wait.
Hell yeah.
There we go. So now we
there you go, Joe Vin.
There you go, Joe Vin.
God.
You win an MWO 4x6 from all three members. Play my fucking music. Please.
I got Galoom, a Hasbro Dusty. I got the merch that drives the marks, while the ringworn gear, they wanna wear it. H-A-R-D, just like Blue Chew. I'm just a major mark.
Major mark.
I'm not a toy boy.
Toy boy.
I'm just a major mark.
Major mark.
I'm not a toy boy.
Toy boy.
Claim all the figs, claim all the merch. Like Super Gabby, you already know the Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen with Phil Jackson. Always scratching that itch. I'm just a major mark.
Major mark.
I'm not a toy boy.
Toy boy.
I'm just a major mark.
Major mark.
I'm not a toy boy.
Toy boy.
Hey, all you major marks, claim all that merchandise.